We're talking about focus on the family, and what we're talking about communication. Now, we all communicate with our children. Amen. Parents and soon-to-be parents. Amen. And those of you who have a hard time talking with your children, I want to tell you, this topic is powerful. Amen. And I told you, if you look at it, it says it's impossible to parent part-time. Whether the child lives with you full-time or part-time, it's hard, it's hard to parent part-time. Parenting requires what? Full-time attention. All right? Look what it says. Love, care, discipline, effort, and excellence. Now we are, I want to say this to you tonight. We are a product of our home. Oh, I'm going somewhere tonight. We are a product of our home, amen. And how we were communicated with, amen, in the home, amen. It affected us in our adulthood. Am I right about it? Amen. How many was yelled at all the time? Amen. And then when you got old and you got you some kids, you're like, shoot, what did you do? You yelled at them. Am I right about it? Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Hey, what you clapping at, Aaliyah? What you clapping? You better not be clapping back there. It's going to be some trouble when we get home. Amen. And so here's the thing. Communication, amen, can sometimes be very confusing to kids. And so as a family, if we're going to focus on the family, I told you the first three things that we needed to do. Number one is that we need to take notes of our kids, right? That's a form of communication. In other words, get to know their clothes, their hairstyle, their friends. What are they interested in? Don't just send them off to their room, amen, to play video games. I'm preparing somebody for something. Amen. And if you keep these handouts when you have some babies, amen, you can know what to do. Come on, turn to them and say, you're going to know what to do. You're going to know what to do. So go to Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. That is our base scripture, amen, for this study. Proverbs 22 and 6, amen. And I know we had a little hiccup in our study. Uh-oh. Amen. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. What does it say right there? Do what? Train. Now, that word train, all right, it literally means to dedicate that child, to train them up. So what I would say is this, that the home is the training ground. So you may want to write that down. The home is a what? Is a what? Is a training ground. The home is a training ground. All right? Listen. Let me say this to you. If you were man enough to make a baby, come on, somebody. I'm going to talk to somebody here tonight. Amen. Then you have to be man enough or woman enough, amen, to train them up. Amen. The Bible talks about how we ought to do this. The Bible gives us instructions on how to train up a child. Now, I gave you an illustration, amen, from 2 Samuel. And I know I got to kind of recap this because we've been away for a minute. Amen. But taking notice of your kids, amen, it's very important to your kid's self-esteem. All right? Now, listen, if your child doesn't live with you full-time, you got a phone, you can just pick it up and say, how was your day at school? Amen. What did you do today, son? Listen, I know you mad at the mama, I understand. Uh-oh. That's, Pastor, you getting in my business now. Hey, watch out now. Call them up. How was your day? When was the last time you called your child? Amen. If your child is not living with you. But here's what I found out. I found out that there are children that live with us and we have no conversation with them. We have no, listen, everything is, be quiet, sit down, shut up, go in that corner over there, leave me alone. Amen. Listen, this is my time. Move around. Amen. And guess what happens? Guess what happens? Our kids are being trained at home. Listen, it's not the school's fault. Oh, I wish I had somebody. You HISD teachers, and you know what I'm talking about. They always want to blame the teacher, right? But it starts at home. Turn to your neighbor and say, it starts at home. Sunday, come meet me here Sunday. I'm going to talk about how it starts at home. I'm going to talk about what you need to do at home in order to train them up. The text says, train up a child. Listen, how can we expect HISD to do it? And how can we expect the streets to do it? How can we expect society to do it? Society don't care about our kids. Society just want what they can get from our kids. And at the end of the day, what we find, amen, is that our kids are very impressionable. Are you with me? Listen, they're like little tape recorders. And they never stop learning. But here's the thing. If we don't take notice of them, their friends, their behaviors, their changing habits. Somebody read it for me. What else? What else? Their temperament. What else? Feelings, what else? Music. Listen, if you let your child go up to the room and your child got in their ear all this 50 cents and 25 cents and you understand what I'm saying? And you know, you got all boomerang and all kinds of, I don't even know their name, you know what I mean? And they listen to all these cuss words and they're constantly being fed these curse words. Listen, you're breathing a giant, a monster in your home, right under your nose. Listen, get in their space. What are you listening to? Go up to their room, check it out. Because I want to tell you something. See? Somebody said, kick the door in. All right. Take the door out. You don't have no door. Amen. You ain't got no privacy. You ain't paid no bills around here. And I tell them all the time, don't you close that door. Privacy. You want your privacy. Well, anyway, let me stick biblical. Let me stay biblical. Amen. That's another week. TV programs, video games. Listen, the video game, Minecraft and what is it? Minecraft and what all these other video games, all of these demonic, Diablo and all this other stuff. These are all these demonic games that are coming into their lives and that's teaching them, amen, a lot of different demonic things. You follow what I'm saying? And this is how Satan gets in. He's not getting in. Listen, in other words, when we neglect to train our children, come on, somebody. We blame other people for what we were responsible for. Amen. How many want your children or your future children, amen, to turn out good? Everybody want them. And listen, it's never too late, listen, to turn the tide. You see what I'm saying? Listen, I want to say this to you. No matter how far you may have drifted from God, or no matter what you have, listen, some of us, we didn't have a chance, all right? We were born into mess. Come on, somebody. We were born into misery. We were born into a bunch of crap. Did I say it? I'm sorry. Amen. We really was. Am I right about it? Say, Pastor, you right about it. You right about it. All right? We didn't have a choice, right? But listen, we can be the game changers. We can be the ones. Listen, you have a nephew, you have a niece, you have somebody that you can talk to that's crying out for your help. But see, communication is the key. And here's the thing, if you don't learn how to communicate with your kids, they will find somebody who will. Come on, somebody. And look what it says. It says video games, emails, words, attitudes, behaviors, grades, who they hanging out with. If you don't even know who your kids are hanging around with, then the question is, amen, who's training them? Look what the text says. The text says, Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. Now here's the question. How does this child know which way to go? Amen. I know, well, you got to live for God. I get that, yeah. You know, you got to live for God. You know good and well when they leave your doors. Come on, somebody. Listen, you already know. They may tell you they're going to live for God, but guess what? You know what they're going to do. But if you instill in them, if you open up the lines of communication, there's some kids right now that are crying out to their parents right now, and their parents not even listening. See, and if we're going to focus on the family, we got to remember this, it starts at home. Listen, training begins at home. And you know, you don't have to beat yourself up, because some people leave this kind of Bible study, man, I didn't do a good job. You know what I mean? Listen, you got to start now. What's the problem? It's not too late. Amen. Train them up in the way they should go, and when they're what? Old, they what? See, the reason why a child may leave the way is because this child may be curious as to what really is going on out there. But I got a solution for that. See, this is why we want to get our 1311 ministry rolling. And I tell you why. Because, see, what Della has been through, amen, what Matthew has been through, amen, are two different things. You understand what I'm saying? So if I want to know, you may share your story with me. And I get an understanding that, listen, when you give your body away to somebody, come on, somebody. When you go out here and you drink and you party, what's the end results of all this stuff? See, somebody else can testify to share with you what's out there, amen, and you can learn from each other. You follow what I'm saying? Learn from people your own age, not to make the same mistakes that you made. Are you with me? You see, here's the thing. Proverbs 22 is powerful because he says, even when he's old, parents, if you took time to take notice of your children, amen, they may call it getting in my business. You know, y'all young folk, when mama getting in my business, she always in my business. She checking my phone, and you know what I mean. It's not that we're checking your phone. We love you. You know what I mean? Amen. He's like, nah, that's getting in my business. Yeah, but I believe at a certain age, you got to kind of like, you know. But you still take notice. You see what I'm saying? You watch the friends, the company that they keep, and things like that. But check the verse out. The verse says, this is the key to this verse. Train up the child in the way he should go, and even, watch this, when he is what? Even when he's old, the training will never leave. You know who's training our kids? Video games, TV, text message, Instagram, Facebook. What else we got? Come on and tell me. Snapchat. You know what I mean? Y'all Snapchatting. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just saying, listen, a lot of us are getting our theology and our training online. Are you with me? And watch this. Parents are just walking by. Yeah, I'm providing. But listen, parents, I want to say this to you. Your children need more than your money. Your children need your time. Your children need to talk. They want to talk with you. Listen, you don't have to keep buying them stuff. Well, you know, they're like, I differ, Pastor. You know, you know, I need no iPhone and stuff. But look what he says. When he's old, he will not depart from it. So what it is that you're training them to do the right thing. You're training them, amen, for life. Because listen, when you get out here in life, who's going to talk to you about credit? How many got bad credit? No, I ain't gonna. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. All right? If mama would have taught you, son, thought, you know what, this is what you got to do. Preserve your credit. This is how you do it. Take notice of them. Take notice of them, all right? Now look at that text. Look at that passage for me. Proverbs 27:23. Amen. Y'all young people should be like, thank you, Pastor. Y'all, I wish my mama was here. Yeah, see, look at this. And listen, for those of you who are young, amen, you keep this paper, and one day when you have some children, you know what to do, see? Look what it says here, 23, what it say? Know what? Know well. The what? Can I ask you something? Does your parents know your true condition? Does your parents know exactly what you're going through right now? See, and if they don't know, that means they haven't taken notice. See, and here's the thing. If you don't know the condition of your child, your true condition of your child didn't have to turn out that way. Now, here's the thing. Now, for some of us, we didn't have this type of training. All right? And because we didn't have this type of training, guess what? We didn't know any better. So guess what? We just beat them and, you know, put them in the corner and I'm just playing. We yelled and cussed and, you know what I mean? We told them to go somewhere, you know what I mean? But now, amen, Michael back there shaking his head. Listen, now you know if I can get Michael involved, you know they're for Jesus, y'all. Come on, y'all. But can I say this? It's not too late. It's never too late. You can change it. You can change. See, you can change the tithe by look. What he said? He says, "Know well the condition of your flock. Watch this, and pay attention to your herds." Listen, all your children want is a little attention. That's it. You don't have to have. Listen. Sometimes we think we need a whole bunch of money, and listen. Even as older children. Listen, I'm talking about even when they're grown and leave the house, all they want is a little bit of attention. That's all they want. They want to hear, hey, baby, how you doing? I love you. How you doing? You know what I mean? How things been? How's your life? You know what I mean? Whatever the case may be, amen, communication is the key, amen? But number two on your paper, the next thing is what? How do we communicate? Number two. Talking. So somebody read that for me, and we're going to go to the scripture. I know I went over this already, but I want to do it again. Mm-hmm. Stop right there. When you started having different types of thoughts, let's talk a little bit. When you started, like, getting curious about who you were as a child, as a person, who'd you talk to? Amen. Grandma? Could you talk to your mama? Amen. What if you would have talked? That's what I'm talking about, Sister Andrea. Depending on what kind of thoughts. Mama, I'm a little curious about this. Oh. Every child goes through this phase. They have thoughts about their sexuality. That's where I'm trying to go. Okay? Like, and especially today. You understand what I'm saying? Who do you talk to? When you get to that phase in your life, when you get a little curious. You see what I'm saying? So you go talk to your what? To your friends, and your friends way advance, and then your friends say, this is how it goes down. And then all of a sudden, guess what? You're pregnant with a purpose. No, I'm just playing. Read on for me. Or you got a disease. Or you could be broken. Do you know that when you give your heart away as a young person, when you get married, it means that you haven't given your, the Bible says you haven't given your full vitality to the one that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. See, and that means that when you give your heart away the first time, the very first time, It's very difficult to love the next person that you're going, the person you're going to marry. Because what you've done is taken what's precious and they have crushed it. You follow what I'm saying? And then all of us, now when you get to your spouse that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, you got an attitude. You just bent out of shape. You see what I'm saying? Don't tell me nothing. I'm bitter. I'm waiting to exhale. You don't understand me. You know what I mean? But if you talk, mama, can you tell? Girl, don't talk to me about that. You know what I mean? Mama, let me talk. I don't want to hear about that. Just don't do it. You give them a whole bunch of no's and no's and do's and don'ts rather than just listen. Parents, we got to learn this stuff. I had to learn that I had to listen. And one of my problems is I don't listen. Amen. I'm told on myself. You better not say nothing back there. I'm going to throw something at you. That's how we can. You say something, I'll throw it at you. Don't come to church and tell them people I'm beating you at home. Shoot. Amen. Amen. You going to say something? Oh, okay. Amen. Amen. Don't let stuff out the bag. You know what I mean? Go ahead. Go ahead. Read on. Ooh. Oh. All right, watch this. Who taught you about money? Who? What is it? The bills taught you about money? Right. Has anybody ever taught you about paying bills? Mama didn't teach you that, right? Your mama did? Girl, you got a good example for a mama. Praise the Lord. Amen. Mama talked to you about, what'd you say? Yeah, we're going to beat them when we get home. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. You know, but here's the thing, right? Who taught them about money, the value of it, right? And so if we don't talk about these things, if we don't teach them how to pay bills on time, how to pay bills on time, why are we always paying stuff late and then pay piece of the bill? How are you going to send piece of the bill? They still going to cut you off? Some people think that they send the bill and then they close their eyes. Lord, please. And then they get to pray. Then they remember mama praying. Lord, please. Lord, if there's a Lord, please don't let him shut me up. Lord, and look, you outside peeking through the blind. Are they going to come take the car today? You sitting there scared. You know what I mean? Because listen, you went and bought a car. Watch this. To look good in, but you couldn't afford it. You didn't even know where the money was coming from. You just kind of wished, well, you know what? I could do this. You sitting there in the finance car. I just got a credit card in the mail today, right? Okay, today. And I showed my girls. Amen. My wife looking at me. I cut it up. Listen, when I looked in the back, right, this is what they said. They said 23% interest. 23% interest. $99 a year membership fee, right? And then $8.99 a month for something. What I don't even know what that is. They just made up something. We're going to charge them $8.99 for this. We're going to charge them $8.99 just for signing it. So, but the average person will be like, shoot, we bled. We made a come up. Baby, we got some money. Mother's Day coming. Amen. Your birthday around the corner. Guess what? We got us some money. And you go out there and you charge. I said, $1,500? Y'all can do. Y'all can do better than that. At 23% interest. See, my mom didn't teach me this. You know where I learned this? In church. Amen. You know where I learned how to communicate? In church. I've learned these things right here at this church. Amen. By teaching it. Amen. Watch this. Know well the condition of your flock. Go ahead. Nothing is what? Off limits. Keep going. Talking with what? Communicates what? I just want to tell you, I'm falling short in that. Can y'all pray for me? Amen. I'm serious. Can y'all pray for me? I'm falling short in that area right there. Because when you start telling me some stuff, I get a little excited. Okay, so that's a form of communication that you got to learn. When your kids are talking, they're telling you real stuff. I'm talking about real stuff. You know what I mean? You can't be like, girl, I'm finna, you know, you can't get crazy. You gotta relax your soul, okay? Now I want to show you about a father. I want to show you about a father who neglected to talk to his son. Watch this. Let me give you the scenario. His stepsister was raped. Okay? He goes on by his stepsister was raped by his brother, his stepbrother. So he goes on, right, and he kills his stepbrother. And then he goes on the run. Right? So let's pick up the story. Go to 2 Samuel 14 for me. I'm going to teach you some real stuff. That better to be Jesus. Second Samuel 14, verse 28, okay? Now watch this. So watch this. Back up to verse, that's fine. We can stay right there. So here's what happened, right? So he was on the run. Absalom was his name. The Bible says there was no one better looking than Absalom. Absalom was like Tyrese. Or like Pastor Hunt, Tyrese had it going on, like Denzel, all right, for the phone, amen, all right? Tyrese would just look just like Denzel, right? Amen. So this is how Absalom was, right? So Absalom killed his sister, his brother, go on the run, right? And for 5 years, he was on the run. And then finally, right, somebody came to David, man, see, here's what I want to say to you parents. Let me say something. No matter how bad your kids may have messed up, listen to this. No matter how bad your kids may mess up, amen, there comes a time, amen, when you got to reach out where they are, wherever they are, and try to communicate with them, even though they're not in the vicinity. Listen, your children gonna grow. They're going to leave home. And guess what? Some of them can't wait to leave home. Some of them right now are saying, man, I can't wait till I leave this house. Okay? But let me say this to you. No matter how far they go, make it a rule. Make it a cardinal rule that you communicate no matter how far they are. Even no matter where they are. Now, they're going to make mistakes, but watch this. You can turn the tide by starting to communicate so that way they won't have any criminal intentions when they get older. Hello, somebody. See, they don't have to go to jail. They don't have to go out there and commit crimes. They don't have to do this if you open up the doors of communication. Are you following me? Absalom's on the run. He's gone from home. And then all of a sudden now, David, because somebody else came to David and said, man, reach out to your son, man. I'm giving you the today's version, okay? All right? So Absalom, he said, man, go get your son, man. I know he's a criminal. I know this. Go see him in prison, you know what I mean? Go reach out to him. So check this out. He did. Absalom came back home. Right? But check this out. Look at verse 28 for me. 28. Look at this. Now read this for me. Somebody read that for me. Mm-hmm. Now watch this. No, right there. Let's stop. Right there. Watch this. 2 years he came back home. For 2 years. This is why I'm telling you why, parents, you may not believe it. But communication is the key. Watch. Watch this. 2 years he'd been back. His dad never one day said, you know what, let me go talk to my son. You ever felt like that? You ever felt rejected like that? By your parents? You ever felt like, man, I wish I could, you know what I mean? Listen, he came home. His dad should have stepped up and said, you know what, let me go meet my son. Let me go talk to my son. Let me go see what's going on in his mind. You know what I mean? Listen, Absalom thought what he was doing was right. He defended his sister. Okay, now, I'm not saying what he did was right. But at some point, you got to restore your child. Come on, somebody. No matter how bad they've messed up. Listen. We all fall short. And sometimes as parents, I think that what we do is we hold this standard that we can't even live up to. Come on, somebody. That if we even tried to live up to it, we wouldn't live up to it. And so Absalom is home. He's like, man, I haven't seen the king's face in 2 years. In two full, notice the text says 2 full years. Now watch verse 29. Absalom sent for Joab. Now Joab, amen, was amen. He was close to the king. See, Absalom could not get to his superstar dad. See what I'm saying? His dad was king. Absalom could not get to his dad, so Absalom sent for Joab. Joab, amen, I believe it was his uncle. Now read on for me. You see what I'm saying? He sent Joab, watch this, he sent for Joab to send him to the king. Can I ask you something? How long have your child been trying to get your attention? You tried and you tried to talk to your parents, you can't talk to them. That could be very frustrating. It can be hurtful too. Because you know what we're looking for as kids from our parents? We're looking for affirmation. We're looking for good job. Listen, you may say, well, I'm grown. I don't need that. Listen, if your mama call you right now and say, I'm so proud of you. Listen, nobody else, unless you have some real hatred in your heart for them, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying then we got to work on forgiveness. Okay? That's a whole other topic we're going to talk about. But I want to say this to you. When you hear those words, it's like, listen, money can't buy that. You see, but watch this. Watch what the text says. The text says, but he would not come to him. So what did he do? He sent what? Again, a what? Second time. Have you ever tried that? Reaching out to your parent? To the person that you love, to the person, you know, you're trying to reach out to them. But listen, guess what? The first time, second time. And listen, you got to go through somebody. Oh, come on, somebody. That is sad. When you got to go through somebody to communicate with your mama or your daddy. That's pretty deep stuff, right? Now watch the text. It says, therefore he said to his servants, siege. You see, when a child wants attention, listen, we may think they're acting out. We may think that really they're tripped out. But you know why that child may do something really extreme? They want your attention. Read the text. What does it say next? Read the text for me. Come on. What does it say? Yeah. And he's what? Barley. Yes, that's what I was talking about. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hold on a minute. All I want to do is talk to my daddy. You see why? Listen, your child is acting up in school, and the reason why you got to go there, because all they want is your attention. They're just saying, help me, talk to me. Be interested in me. Listen, show me some love. Don't always yell at me. Talk to me. So what did he do? He got destructive. And then we want to say he got ADHD. Or he bipolar. And then guess what? They want to put him on pills. And all he wanted, the Bible, let me tell you something. If you read your Bible, and if you get under a church that can explain the Bible, guess what? You get good understanding. I tell you that. Good understanding. I can explain what happened to me. I know why I was jumping over the fence late at night, going down to the club and getting drunk and all kinds of stuff, because I just was looking for attention. Amen. Now, what did you do? Don't look at me. Talking about pastor. Y'all ain't cool. Y'all. Look what he said. He said he went and set it on what? The roof. The roof is up. No, I'm sorry. He said, why did he set? The question is, why did he set it on fire? You won't talk to me. I done been back 2 years. I done went to your closest advisor to say, listen, can you please negotiate a meeting with me and my dad? That's all I'm asking. All I want is daddy's approval. All I want is daddy's forgiveness. All I want to do is explain myself. When I saw my sister broken, I took a stand. You got it? Communication, y'all. It's so powerful. I believe that's the key to every successful marriage. Seriously. And if you're not communicating, amen, there'll be a breakdown. Watch the text. So look what happened now. Go ahead. So Absalom's servant, now I know Absalom sent his boys, you know what I mean? He says, shoot, we're going to get them, you know what I mean? And he done set his whole field on fire, okay? 31, read that for me, 31. Are you reading? Dude, why are you taking out on me? So here's what I want to say to you. Right there, I'm going to put a pen right there. Other people will be affected by your lack of communication with your children. When they get married, their spouse is going to be affected. When they're dating, they're going to be affected. When they go out into the world at the job, they're going to be affected. See, because what happened was he wanted attention, but he took revenge. That's all he. So he said, listen, if I can't get your attention by trying to be peaceful about it, I'm going to set some stuff on fire. It's going to be 4th of July up in here. And listen, he set that thing on fire. That man worked hard for his field. See, and this is what we're producing from the house. Amen. You know what we're producing? Amen. Amen. Arsonist. Read on for me. Right. See what I'm saying? What he was saying is, why? Because remember, when he killed his sister, when he killed his brother, he ran to Gershaw. And he stayed in Gershaw for 3 years. You follow what I'm saying? He's like, so why did I even come back? You ever felt like that? Why did I even come here? Why did I even try to reconcile with you? Why did I even try to, You know what I mean? Why did I even try? You follow what I'm saying? Because here's the thing. Here I am. I'm thinking that you... See, let me say this to you. When you're ready to forgive somebody, they may not be ready to receive forgiveness or even give forgiveness. But you got to be ready to forgive yourself either way and forgive them. Because forgiveness is not predicated on them. It's predicated on you. See, that's what Absalom was missing here. Absalom had, he was just living out his nature. He says, it would be better for me to still be there. Now, therefore, let me see the king's face. And if there is any is iniquity in me, let him put me to death. Now he went to the straight extreme. See, his iniquity has been plaguing him for a long time. Verse 33, watch what it says. So when Joab came to the king and told him, now why did it take all of that? Listen, if you're a parent, or, you know, one day you're going to be a parent, okay, if that's your thing. You got to remember this. All they wanted to do was talk. Establish that early. Open the lines of communication. Establish it. And if you don't establish it, what's going to happen is you're in for some stuff. Look what he says. He says, then he called for Absalom. Thus he came to the king and prostrated himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. All Absalom wanted was love. Daddy, do you still love me? I know I messed up, but do you still love me? But he had to go to the extreme to get this because his parenting skill wasn't all that good. Now watch this. Now look at chapter 15. Let me tell you what happened now. Let me tell you what happened in 15 now. Well, you would think, see, let me say this to you. Resentment is something that if you don't rid yourself of resentment, even after you've forgiven someone for hurting you, you will try to destroy them. And when a child becomes resentful against their parent, read 15:1 for me. Let me show it to you. Absalom did what? Of the what? That's it. He got revenge. Now, y'all watch Empire, right? This stuff is deeper than Empire, okay? This is the Empire stuff right here. He said, man, I'm going to take him down. He won the hearts. Listen, when the people would come, right? Absalom would say, listen, don't worry about it. King's busy, y'all. I'll take care. And listen, and he would tell them what they wanted to hear. In other words, he was deceiving them. You see, and then he won the heart of people because he was telling the people what they wanted to hear. And so then he rose up and took over Israel. That's the end story. See, here's the thing. If we don't deal with the resentment in our hearts that we may have towards our parents, hello, somebody, it will lead us down to try to prove something to them. Because in all actuality, from the day we were born, we were trying to prove ourselves to them. Amen. So communication, but talking is the key. Amen. Number three, amen, truth. Tell your children the truth. The truth about what? What else? Morality, yourself. Listen, there comes a time when you got to tell them the truth. When they get to a certain age, guess what? They already know what you've been doing. Trying to hide. Talk about, I know mama smoked weed. I know. I know. I seen her. What's that smell? you know what I mean? I know mama drinks. She be having them bottles, talking about it, and she ain't got no bottle. Seriously? Man, you know what I mean? The brown paper bag. You're like, what the world is she doing there? Amen. You talking about them? Shoot. Tell them the truth. I know the truth is hard, but tell them Jesus done delivered me, baby. Come on, y'all. I've been set free. Amen. Tell them, listen, because here's what you don't want them to do. You don't want them to be shocked, okay? They're like, my mama? I know you ain't talking about my mama. And then you get in a fight. And then your mom won't tell, baby, yeah, that was me. Don't wait till later to tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. But the key thing, tell them about God. Tell them who God is. But here's the thing. You can't tell them about something you don't know about. You can't tell them about God when you don't even live for God, when you don't even know God, when you don't even sacrifice for God, when you haven't surrendered your life to God. You can tell them to go to church, but the reason they're not coming is because you didn't teach them about God. See, you went to church, but the church wasn't in you. When you went home, you saw the real deal. You saw what really was going. Listen, this is real stuff. And see, at some point, we ought to feel some kind of conviction that, listen, it's time for me to change my act. It's time for me to really take this church to. Listen, how can I keep telling them to pray? How can I tell them to trust God when I can't help them? How can I tell them to lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path? Amen. How can I tell them that you're trying to go to college and you're trying to pay these bills and you're doing all this thing? You got to pray, baby. You got to pray. You got to call out to God. How can I tell them when I haven't taught them? And then they go out into the world and they find out how mean and ugly and how messed up the world is and how people will use you and spit you out. People who say they like you, who for you, they had no intention of anything for you. They didn't love you. They didn't like you. They were trying to use you up. But we didn't tell them the truth. We hid all this stuff from them. We put all this stuff in the closet and we never said anything about it. You got to tell them the truth. Tell them the truth. Tell them about God. Tell them about morality. Listen, if you don't understand this, check this out. Man was born in sin. The reason why you don't have to teach a child to lie, because in the child's nature, he's a sinner. That cute little googie baby. Googie, googly. He's so cute. You understand what I'm saying? The one you bounce up and you know what I mean? You know, sinful. Because when that child gets to a certain age, he shows or she shows her sinfulness. And so what you have to do as a parent is move them along, watch this, to say, okay, you got to come to know Jesus. But if you, but listen, but if the church is corrupt, come on somebody, if the people, if the preacher is corrupt, if the people are corrupt, if you have no real application of the word, listen, you can get theological with me and get all deep and stuff and try to tell me about this and this and that and, you know, the flying saucers and aliens and kind of, you know, all kinds of deep stuff, right? Okay. But here's what I'm going to ask you. Do you apply the God's word to your life every day? Can you live for him? Can you really surrender your life for him? If you died to sin, why are you still living in sin? If you've been crucified with Christ, why is it you're still powerless? Why are you still broke? Why are you still living the way you're living? Show me some power. Get deep with me, but show me power in your living, and I want to follow the God that you serve. See, the God that we imagine at times is not the God of the Bible. You see, but how do we learn about him? We learn about him from the word of God. Amen. And then when we start seeing the power in your life, you start saying, man, this stuff is real. But the only way you're going to know it's real is if you are saved. See, there are people trying to figure it out, but they're not saved. See, tell them about the fact that, listen, you are a sinner. Listen, I don't offer Jesus to anybody who don't first see themselves as a sinner. I don't say, well, you know what? Well, you know, you're going through tough times right now. Jesus can help you. That ain't no good reason to come to Jesus. See, you come to Jesus because you've been saved. And then watch this. And then after you're saved, that's when the work starts. Amen. That's when the work starts in your life. And listen, and here's what happens to people. We just talked about this in our meeting tonight. When things get good in our lives, we forget all about Jesus. Tell the truth. Listen, when things are bad, oh man, we run into Bible. What time the church open? See, what pastor teaching? I'm there. What's up? But when it get real, that's when it get real bad. I'm talking about you so bad, you can't even pay attention. And when it get good, we like, shoot, what? Church? God? What's that? Seriously? I got some stuff to do today. You don't understand. I got homework tonight. Amen. You don't understand. I got stuff to do, Pastor. You don't understand this stuff. You know what I mean? See, then I start asking you this question. Did you really mean it? Go to Romans 6:1 for me. Read that for me. Come on, John. Walk with me, John. Walk with me. Romans 6:1. What does it say? And I'm finna close. Man, I only got to teach to truth. What shall we say then? Let me say this to you. Let me free you for a minute. Those of you who are consistently living in sin, you are under grace, boo. I mean, I'm talking about major grace. God is showing. Listen, matter of fact, you got more grace than me. Back up to 5, verse 21 and 22. What does it say there? Uh-huh. I Are you serious? Where sin increase, grace increase even more. Let me liberate you. There's a right way to get grace. The only reason why you still got your apartment is because of grace. Because you hadn't tithed ever. The only reason why you're still driving that car is because you're on the grace. Hello, somebody. Ain't nobody telling, nobody forcing you. Ain't nobody pushing you to tithe. Ain't nobody pushing you to come to church. But you are on the grace. There's a right way to get grace. There's a wrong way to get grace. He says, keep reading. Who's reading? Who's reading? So what? So read again. The law came. That's the word. See, the reason why the law came, the word of God came, so that we would see our sins. Because before the word of God came in your life, before you started understanding the Bible, you didn't understand you were sinning. You were ignorant today. You were like, shoot, I'm cool. This is what I do. But when the law came, it showed you, man, you were sinning. Read on. Keep going. Are you seeing it? So then, based upon the context, read 6:1 now. Because wherever sin increases, grace increases all the more, right? Now watch verse 1. Therefore, what? What shall we say then? Is that how you want to get God's grace? Is that how you want favor? You pay your bills and you have nothing. That ain't good favor. You just barely making it. You're frustrated. Come on, somebody. Listen. You at your breaking point. Okay? You're still taking care of business. Only reason you're taking care of business is because of God's grace. And you got more grace than me. Because you are not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So what he going? Go on, read on. Read on what he says next. Man, what? Five times in the book of Romans, Paul uses that word, may it never be. Five times. He says, may it never be. That shouldn't be your story. Come on, somebody. I know mama didn't communicate with you. I know they didn't tell you the truth. But come here for a minute. Let me break some news to you. Psalm 27 said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord took me up. The Lord will teach you how to live. He'll communicate with you. That's why the preacher got to make sure he's doing his work. Amen. And communicating a God of the Bible, not a God that he imagines. He says, may it never be. Go ahead. Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question tonight? I want you to put your name right there. Come on. Let's put our name right there. Come on, let's read it together now with your name on. Put your name on. How shall live who died to sin? Now watch this. This how in the Greek construction of this passage, it's an emphatic how. So it's kind of like this. How could you rob the bank, amen, in broad daylight with no mask on? Seriously, that's dumb. This is what they call it, fools caught on tape. What do they call them? Dumbest criminals ever. This is the dumbest criminals ever question. that's the Greek construction of this passage. Okay, it's an emphatic how. Like, man, how did you do that? I mean, seriously, didn't you just think about it? You could at least put a stocking on your face. You could, I mean, you should have done something. I mean, you know what I mean? You should at least not pull up right in front of the bank. I mean, come on. Don't you know there's cameras, fool? I mean, come on. So he's saying, how can you who died to sin, the moment you accepted Christ, all your sins was paid for. Ain't no going back. Listen, and it was paid for past, present, and future. So guess what? Fast forward to chapter 8, verse 1. Just for those of you who are being condemned, because people keep telling you, you can't be doing that. You can't. 8:1, what does it say? Therefore, now, know what? For who? Now let's rewind it again. How can you who died to sin still live in it if there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? I believe then it becomes a choice. And if sin is attractive to you, something wrong with your salvation. And the reason I say salvation is because if you love sinning, it means that there's something wrong with your salvation. And then, watch this, or you may not be saved, or it's a sanctification issue. But if you love it, then I question your salvation. Because he says, listen, the reason you're here tonight, because you made a decision. Didn't you make a decision? I'm going to press on anyways. And how can we who are saved, who died to sin, sin can no longer have master over you? Listen, the only reason it has mastered over you is because you allowed it. But you're dead. You're immune to sin. The how emphatic. He says, how can you who died to sin keep living in it? And what does he say next in the next verse? And I'm done. I'm through. I'm done. I promise you I'm done. That's verse 2. Okay, go ahead. The law of what? Of the Spirit in Christ has set you what? From what? Can I say this to you? If you keep sinning, it's going to lead to death. But you don't have to live like that no more. Because you've been freed. So why are you holding yourself hostage to stuff in the past? You're dead to it. You've died to it. It's time to live like you really died to sin. If you can't commit to God. Now, people say, well, the flesh is weak. I understand the flesh is weak. But there's a difference between your flesh and sin. Okay? Now, watch this. The members of your body, okay, when you present it as instruments of unrighteousness, you will sin. If you keep looking at stuff on television, if you keep hanging around the wrong people, if you feel in your mind you can't kick the habit, then guess what? The members of your body will concur with you, and then you will agree with it, and then you will continue in sin. And then the question is, if you died to sin, why are you still living in sin? And so I told you the truth tonight. Give God a hand clap praise.